half-hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Wildlife Center of the North Coast does vital work through their mission to rescue, rehabilitate, and release injured wildlife on the North Coast of Oregon and beyond. It's a 501c3 charitable organization. Small staff, relies on volunteers and members to function. Their educational programs and summer camps offer young people opportunities to learn how to prevent harm to wildlife. And that's essential as there's more human-wildlife interaction as there's growth and tourism affecting our coast. You may have heard about the Wildlife Center on OPB recently, which aired a story about the center receiving 3 bald eagles in a week. Today, we'll talk with Wildlife Center of the North Coast Executive Director Kari Henningsgaard about what's happening at the center, baby bird season, and about their upcoming annual free event, Birds of a Feather Spring Festival, May 10th and 11th. Good morning, Kari. Thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. A lot of folks don't know about the Wildlife Center. You're tucked away and, you know, outside of Astoria, about 9 or 10 miles. But before we talk about the Wildlife Center, let's introduce you to the listening audience. If you'd please tell us a little bit about Kari Henningsgaard.
Sure. Well, hello. My name is Kari, and I am the executive director of the Wildlife Center. I have been in this role for a couple of years now, just about. And I really enjoy working for the Wildlife Center because I'm just super passionate about wildlife conservation and education. My educational background is in environmental studies and geography from the University of Oregon. And other than that, I'm just born and raised in Astoria. So, yeah.
Excellent. And I was complimenting you on the website. I encourage everyone to visit the website. There have been some wonderful updates and it's pretty exciting. So, Kari, let's talk just a teeny bit about the history of the Wildlife Center. And then we'll go into a little bit about the mission and then we'll talk about events that are happening.
So the Wildlife Center and we've been around since 1997. So what is that? Oh gosh, I'm not gonna be able to do math today. 28 years? We've been here a long time. We were founded by Charnel Fee. She lived in Portland at the time and she learned there was no place for wildlife, specifically seabirds, to get medical care on the Oregon coast. So she came out to this property and only purchased it and started the Wildlife Center.
And you have a hospital. So tell me what you have. What is at the Wildlife Center currently?
So as far as facilities go, we have our wildlife rehabilitation clinic where we provide medical care to sick, injured, and orphaned wildlife. And then we have our education center, which is focused on providing wildlife conservation-based education programs to our community and youth.
So you have things that are ongoing, and I know you're a 501c3. I know that you want to rehabilitate and get the wildlife back into their habitat. So the mission of the center essentially is, there's a wonderful statement on the on your website, which is about having compassion. Do you want to read that mission statement?
Yeah, our mission is promoting compassion, empathy, and respect for all life through wildlife rehabilitation, ecological teachings, and wildlife conservation.
And just because this seems appropriate, before we launch into a little bit about what you're doing there and what the needs are of the Wildlife Center, I want to just read the Wendell Berry poem because I think we so need it today. And we're talking about wildlife and the Wildlife Center. And without you all, you know, we would not have, you know, a healthy wildlife population when we have, you know, so many injuries and things happening and things that we don't realize, you know, whether it's lead poisoning or fish hooks or plastic or, you know, lawn chemicals. I mean, things that affect them. So we need to, our wildlife is precious. So I'm just going to take a second and just read this, and then we'll talk more about the center. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. And that was the marvelous Wendell Berry. So you love being with all of these creatures, and I know that you specialize in aquatic birds, although you can also get otters, beavers, weasels, bobcats, all kinds of things. What are the reasons that the wildlife come to you in the first place?
So the reason wildlife comes to us in the first place is because it is in need of help. But primarily what we exist for and what we want to be doing is kind of counteracting negative impacts humans have on wildlife. And so we do see the majority of our emissions from wildlife were affected in some way by human activity or human development, whether directly or indirectly. And as we move, you know, into spring, it's a great time of year to highlight a few of those reasons. Migratory birds are flying long distances. And so, you know, we have windows everywhere that are posing risk to them. Baby birds are on the ground in the spring and house cats are out and about. That poses a real danger. We see lots of animals come in that have fish hooks in them or ingested some sort of waste that humans have left behind, rodenticide or chemicals like that, that people are using for rodent control. And then animals scavenge those rodents and then they are subsequently affected by that poison. So those are some more direct ways that wildlife is impacted by human activity. But then, you know, of course, there's warming ocean temperatures and food shortages, and we're seeing starvation and indirect causes as well.
Right. Like even being hit by a car, you know, I mean, yes. Absolutely. So, right. Exactly. So, you're not open to the public. However, there are opportunities for the public to be engaged. Obviously, you have people, you have memberships, people donate because you're a 501c3, and you have private tours where people can come and meet your ambassador animals. You have Cormie, the resident double-breasted cormoran. You have Nell, the red-tailed hawk, and you have the upcoming spring Birds of a Feather Festival happening too. But what is happening behind the scenes most of the time on any given day at the Wildlife Center?
Oh, goodness. Well, that's the fun thing about working in wildlife rehab is every day looks differently. But yes, no, we aren't open to the public. Currently, we are 501c3. We get no state or federal funding, so we rely entirely on grants and donations from the public. And so therefore don't have a capacity to have open hours currently. But if anyone were to stop by on any given day, they might see volunteers around our property. We have a little over 100 acres out here in Olney, and there is always maintenance needs. So we have volunteers that stop by to help with animal care, that stop by to drop off injured wildlife, that come to mow our lawn and do repairs on our enclosures. So it's usually pretty busy with volunteers. And then we have our staff in the clinic that are keeping strict protocols for their medical care for their patients. So they're feeding animals and cleaning cages and prepping diets and constantly, tending to the patients that they have in care. And then over at the education center, we have our education team working with our ambassadors, Cormie the Cormorant and Nell, and we also have Odin, who is a Western Screech Owl. And so our education team is working with them daily, doing training sessions. And we do have people that stop by for tours that they've scheduled in advance online, and anyone's welcome to do that for a small fee. We have the public come out and they you know, you can have the opportunity to see these training sessions with our ambassadors and get a closer look at the work that we do here. So it's usually pretty busy out here. And lots of gardening going on this time of year too, right?
And you can always use more volunteers. And there are ways, even transport. If an injured animal is, you know, in Manzanita or something, and you need someone to bring it up to you, so you can always use volunteers. So I really encourage people to go to the website and look under volunteer opportunities. The other thing we didn't mention is that since there are migrating birds right now, that in and they often they can fly into a window, is you can put decals on the windows, right, Kari? You said that.
Yeah,
before.
Absolutely. We like feather friendly or kaleidoscape, but anything's better than nothing.
Okay, good. And let's talk a little bit about the internships, the field trips, the summer camps that you are involved with. You said the need for education is growing, so tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So we do have an internship program that we will be running this summer. I believe it's June through August are the dates. I think on the website it said the deadline to apply was 2 days ago, but it will offer not just students, but anybody that's interested in wildlife rehab, like direct hands-on work, caring for animals, and they'll be doing workshops. And I would encourage anybody, if that sounds like something that you would be interested in, if you've wanted to pursue wildlife rehab or just learn more about it, to still apply for that, because that will be a really enriching opportunity that we're excited about. And what else did you ask me about? I already forgot.
Well, internships, summer camps.
Yes, we have our Junior Naturalist Summer Camp. This will be, I believe, our seventh year, I think, running the summer camps, and it'll be 3 weeks. So kids entering first through eighth grade, the weeks are split up by ages, but it's all outdoor nature-based programming. Our summer camp is super fun. They have an opportunity to interact with our ambassadors daily, watch their feeding, tour our clinic, learn about the work we do, go on nature walks, and visit our wetlands. So summer camp is lots of fun. And then we also are running an art contest right now. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but it's a youth art contest, and it's connected with our spring festival that we do have coming up in May. But it's open right now, and the deadline to submit artwork is April 26th, but that's for youth. I think the ages are third through 12th grade. But you can find the form and more information about that on our website,
which is coastwildlife.org. And again, I encourage people to visit that website and find something that appeals to you so that you can be involved with this. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, I'm talking with Kari Henningsgaard. She's the executive director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast, which does vital work through their mission to rescue, rehabilitate, and release injured wildlife on the North Coast. And there are more interactions. The educational programs for young people are crucial. And you said there's a real need for that, and it's growing.
Yes, absolutely. And our education program, you know, we're always trying to expand and grow, but fit the needs of the community. So really listening to what people want and how we can help serve that need. So our education program, we also have a field trip program. So teachers or classrooms looking to book a field trip can find information about that online. The field trip program is free for students. There's a suggested donation, but it's not required because we want that to be accessible really to any classroom that wants to come visit the Wildlife Center. And Cormie just finished her first pilot round of doing in-class presentations, and so she was able to visit the fourth grade classrooms at Lewis and Clark Elementary, our double-crested cormorant. Actually went and saw the students there as opposed to them coming here, so that was fun.
That is great. And, you know, I don't know if people realize that you're the only wildlife care hospital in the entire region and that you serve communities not only on the Northern Oregon coast, but on the Central Coast as well. And which is, again, why, you know, volunteers ferrying animals up and down. And I guess when we think about what you need, I want us to talk about the festival, but what are the needs right now that the Wildlife Center has? I mean, I noticed that you need a travel trailer, that you can always use Dawn dish soap, you know, things like that.
Yeah, so supplies and in-kind donations are always greatly appreciated, but definitely Dawn dish soap is a year-round ever-present need because we go through quite a bit of it. Dawn dish soap, nitrile gloves, bleach, laundry detergent, those are kind of the things we can always use. Volunteer work is really crucially important, so we can always use volunteers in every aspect, but specifically this time of year, anybody interested in helping with maintenance or building projects, that's always a great need for us, and transporting wildlife as well, because the quicker, you know, wildlife can make it to our clinic, the better chance it has at survival. And so the more volunteers that we have that are able to help kind of go out and rescue animals is really, really important to our work. And yeah,
Well, you're going into your busy season too right now, aren't you? I mean, you're expecting, this is the calm before the storm, you're going to start having baby ducklings and things like that coming in because it's baby bird season.
Yes, absolutely. So we're kind of in this lull-ish time of year. We're moving from the slow season into the busy season. And as, you know, the birds are showing up, they're nesting, they're mating, the populations are increasing. Naturally, we'll see an increase in patients that go along with that. Every spring, we treat usually anywhere from 1 to 200 mallard ducklings alone. And that's in addition to all of the other young and old species, you know, animals that we treat. So as we move into spring too, we will be doing more supply drives to help with food. You know, ducklings eat a lot and they're very messy. So they are kind of expensive little patients. And so any help we can get caring for those young animals this spring is greatly appreciated.
Good. Well, I'm hoping people will go to the website and get involved with the Wildlife Center. Let's talk about the Spring Festival, May 10th and May 11th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's a fun, free event. Let's talk about Birds of a Feather Spring Festival. Tell us about what's going to be happening there.
So on May 10th and 11th, like I had mentioned before, we aren't currently open to the public, but during our Spring Festival, we open to the public that weekend. Everybody is invited. It's free. You can stop by at any time. I believe it's 11 to 3 p.m. both days. That's Mother's Day weekend too. And so we will be having our native plant sale, and there's crafts and games and fun stuff for the kids. So it is a fun Mother's Day weekend activity. The kids can make gifts for their parent and, you know, plants and stuff. But yeah, anytime you can stop by, and we'll be doing tours of the facility, encounters with our ambassadors, and all of the youth art from our art contest will be displayed during the festival. And so as we get closer to the event, we'll post sort of a timeline or a schedule on our website. So stay alert for that. And we will try to schedule it out so that you can stop by at any point that weekend, and something fun will be going on here at the Wildlife Center that you can check out and kind of learn about our work and see the Wildlife Center.
Kari, how do you all function in terms of your finances? I know you're a 5133, so there must be grants, but memberships must play a key role for you all.
Yes, and we greatly appreciate our members. Our membership is just a recurring donation, but you can find more about how to sign up for our membership. But yeah, those are our wildlife warriors, our Wild at Heart membership club, our champion supporters.
Kari, what is the most rewarding thing about your work? And perhaps what's the most frustrating as well?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. I think the most rewarding thing about the work is the success stories. You know, one story that sticks out to me, I believe it was last year, I got a call from the Astoria Police Department. They had found two young crows that had been held captive. And so I went to take the crows from these individuals. They had clipped the feathers and they had been keeping them as pets, which is illegal. Crows are native wild animals. And so we took those crows in. And as many know, corvids are incredibly smart. And so the risk with habituation for young crows is really, really high. And so I was concerned with their age and the fact that they had been kept as pets with their ability to rewild. But our staff are just so dedicated and amazing, and they cared for those crows in full ghillie suits and camouflage. And I think it took about 2 months, but the crows did become wild again and were able to be released. And so that's the stories like that are the most rewarding part. You know, when you're not sure if an animal will be able to make it and thrive, and then they do. Wildlife is amazing, nature is amazing. And so yeah, that's what keeps me going. And then the frustrating part, of course, you know, working for a nonprofit that relies on donations is just it's a lot of work. And you know, something's always breaking. We're underfunded and understaffed, and so just having the capacity to kind of meet the demand, and feeling frustrated that we don't at certain times in certain circumstances. That's the frustration. But
yes, and overall, though, the need is there, the need is growing, and as more people are aware of it and more people care, because think of our lives without wildlife and birds. People don't realize how would we live without bird song? Bird song speaks directly to your soul. And people don't realize that birds have personalities. Birds are intelligent. I mean, I remember when I used to have Charnel Fee on the program like eons ago, and she would talk about different personalities and how smart they are. These are treasures, these birds.
Absolutely. And again, come to our spring festival and meet Cormie, the double-crested cormorant, and you can see for yourself just how amazingly intelligent these birds are and how much personality they have.
Yes, and they are all different, that's for sure. So we have a few minutes left here. I want to make sure we've talked about all the important things that you want us to talk about. I know that the hospital that you operate under, permits issued through the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and that you have a licensed rehab coordinator there. So you have expertise, you have veterinarians, you have professional people who are doing this work, and such good work it is. So anything that we haven't covered that maybe we should still talk about?
Just wanted to kind of re-highlight, you know, going into spring, into baby bird season, people are going to be out and about recreating at the same time animals are trying to reproduce. And so there's going to be interactions there. And so just knowing what to do when you find a baby animal or you find a baby bird. And the one thing I would just leave is to always contact a licensed wildlife rehabilitator or a wildlife professional, ODFW or something like that, when you find baby animals, because a lot of times, you know, they're just trying to figure out the world and they don't actually need help. We also have a really good flowchart on our website that people can find that can help them know what to do when they find a baby bird specifically, but any baby animal really.
Yeah, and they can call you. I mean, I found an injured bird years ago and called and got it to the Wildlife Center, and it was rehabilitated. So that is absolutely possible and happening. And so you're there. And I guess my maybe last question for you would be, overall, in the big perspective of things, do you feel like the youth that you're doing these educational programs with are beginning to realize, you know, the value and our responsibility in, you know, maintaining and helping wildlife thrive?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. That's a really encouraging part of the work is watching these kids, you know, develop into people that know about and understand our local environment and really care about it and want to protect it. I encounter youth in our community all the time, and they know about Cormie and they know about cormorants, and they want to tell me how amazing they are when they find out, you know, that I work at the Wildlife Center. They remember that they saw me here. And so that is really special.
It is. And the other last thing, we should be careful about dogs running on the beach, because you have nesting birds, right?
Yes. And we have sensitive nesting birds. Our Western snowy plovers are endangered. Our black oyster catchers are species of concern. And so please leash your dogs on the beach during nesting season, specifically when those animals are most vulnerable.
Okay, excellent. Kari, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I just want to recap that there are things you can do. Go to coastwildlife.org to find out how you can be involved. And the open house and native plants sale is happening on May 10th and May 11th, the Spring Festival. If you have or know a young person, third grade to 12th grade, there's the Youth Art Contest. It's on the website. You can submit it by April 26th. And I know there's some talented kids out there who could draw some things that would be very fun and that will be displayed at the open house. Thank you again, Kari, for taking the time to be here today. And I don't know, I couldn't live without birds and bird song and all the other things that you all do. So valuable. So thank you. Kudos to you and everyone there.
Thank you, Donna.
And for all of you listening, thank you so much for supporting KMUN and for listening to Talk of Our Towns, which is the first Thursday of each month. My gratitude to Jack Harris, who did the engineering today and did a superb job under Viri's direction and help. And so it takes a village in every way. Also, my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. And so today, let's stop right this second and just take a very deep breath. It's so good for body, mind, and spirit. Close the world down and then think of the things that are going well in your life with gratitude, and give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here right now in this moment on the only planet we know, the amazing planet we call Earth.